Amen. Amen. Yeah. If I say stuff like that, family, and that's resonating with you, say amen. Amen. If you came in with a need, claim it. Amen. Amen. Because that's what we got to do. Amen. We got to partner with our faith. Our faith has got to partner with our words. Yeah. So if ever somebody says something up on the pulpit and you're like, that's me, just amen it. Amen. Amen. If you hear a word and you're saying, that's my word, take it. Amen. Even if you're the only person that's saying amen, don't let everybody else stop you from receiving what God is saying. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we sit in church and nobody else is talking and it's quiet and we're like, ooh, but I don't want to be the only one in the room. Miracles happen when you're the only one in the room. Amen. 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 there's no such thing as not enough amens. Yeah? Amen? Amen. So I want to encourage you, if you hear something from the pulpit and you feel like that's resonating with your spirit, or maybe it's not resonating spirit, but you know you're in a season and you need that word, claim it. Take it. Shout it out on top of the rooftop. Amen? Because that's your word. Yeah? Yeah? So there's a blessing in store for somebody in this house this morning. It's a miracle. God is a God of provision. Yeah? He's a God of provision, and there's some needs that he wants to meet, and he's going to meet it for you. Yeah? Yeah? Amen. I'm not preaching today. I just want to encourage you. Yeah? Because we're doing this whole faith season, faith series. Amen? And with that, we need to activate it. We can't just be listening to faith and not applying what we are hearing. Amen? And so part of that application of that faith word is taking what we feel like God is in storing for us and taking ownership of that. So when there's a word or where there's a promise or where there's something that you feel like is yours, own it. Take it. Yeah? Walk into it. Because faith is not just by coming to church on a Sunday and diligently hearing the word. Faith without works is what? Amen. Our faith is not dead, is it? No. So we take whatever word we hear and we walk that out. And if our works is producing a verbal sound, let that be your works. Yeah? Amen? We all good? So whoever that is that's here to receive that miracle, take it, own it, claim it. Yeah, whether I don't know what it is. Sometimes God don't tell me what it is. He just says, someone's going to get this, and you take it. And if it's not for you, maybe you get a piece of somebody else's blessing, which is always good. Amen? Amen. So we've been talking about faith over the past couple of weeks. Who's been enjoying that? Who's been enjoying connect groups? Yeah? Yeah? We've been unpacking faith in a little bit deeper when we get together. Amen? And that's always good, because what we get from Sunday is amazing, but then sometimes we get together and we start unpacking the word and we start discussing what other people got from it and we get so much more. Yeah? Well, we reflect on our life and we see how we can apply this. So I want to encourage you. Connect group is always going to flourish whether there's one of us there, two of us there, three of us there, four of us there. Whoever shows up is not going to miss out. The only people missing out is you that's not showing up, yeah? So make sure you show up because you don't want to miss out from what's going on in Connect Group. Because I know and I've been talking to people and it's been going off. So we want you all to be able to receive what is happening in our Connect Groups, yeah? That's not just for some of us. That's for all of us. So if you can make it on every second Thursday, come along to a Connect Group and experience yourself how God unpacks that word of faith a little bit more. Awesome. That's enough of me talking. Are you ready to continue to explore faith? From I don't know what Pastor Jay is going to do, but I just know I'm ready to receive a little bit more. Because faith is one of those things that you can never get enough of, because there's always room to strengthen us in that area, yeah? Awesome. So can we please put our hands together? You can be upstanding also. Put our hands together and be upstanding as Pastor Jay comes up.
High five your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's good to see you this morning. How's everybody doing? Everyone all right? I want to share something that's not, it's not a part of my word today, but I shared it last night on Facebook, and I think it's so cool. So it says this, it says, how to make church not about you this weekend. So how to make church not about you this weekend. Pray for others, serve and volunteer, be a worshiper, not a consumer, show up on time, greet people and don't avoid them. Let me tell you, don't avoid each other. Sing, even if it's not your favorite song. Oh, yes. Participate instead of spectate. Don't nitpick and live out the word. You like that? I like that. If you don't like that, too bad. It's I like it. It's just something that I saw online and I was like, yeah, that's true. Sometimes we just come to be consumers of a Sunday, but we're not supposed to come in as consumers, but we're supposed to come into the house willing to lay down whatever the week's been like. Whether your week's been a high, whether it's been a low, whether it's been nothing, whether it's been ugly, whether it's been bad, God just wants us to lay it down. And I just pray as we laid it down during worship, because did you feel that? Like, did you feel the room? Like, the atmosphere, like, shifted. Like, before it was, like, okay. And then it was, like, more than okay. And then it shifted a little bit more. I was like, oh, that's a bit better. And then it shifted again. And I was like, oh, okay, that's way better. And then it shifted again. And I was like, that's the point. And I loved it when you can see the Holy Spirit just move. Not just because physically, but you can see the Holy Spirit just hover. And when we surrender, He allows to do stuff. Like, we allow Him to do stuff when we surrender. And so I pray that you were inspired and were recharged and was refilled by the Holy Spirit through worship. Anyone refilled? I was refilled. But let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. I pray that we will grab something from it. I pray, Holy Spirit, reveal the things that need to be revealed. Take out the lies that we may have in our minds, in our hearts, so that we can receive the truth, because the truth is what sets us free. And so, Father, I just thank you for what you're about to do and what we are about to partake. Speak to us. Our hearts are open to receive. In the name of Jesus, we pray. All God's people say, amen. Amen. So today, we're going to carry on our faith series. Everyone enjoy faith series? Yeah? And I was like, to God, the whole week, I was like, God, what do you want to say? I have no clue what he wanted to say until yesterday. When I was getting my hair done with Debs, I was like, God, what do you want to say? And I feel like God spoke to me in that moment. And it's like two simple words that I pray that not only encourages you, but you remember in your mind. And it's the title of my message, which is called, Hold On. Tell your neighbor, hold on. Tell the person behind you, hold on. Tell the person in front of you, hold on. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Yesterday I was like thinking, that you know that, hold on, change is coming, hold on. Don't worry about a thing. You guys know that song? Hold on. Singing, you can make it. Hold on. Everything's going to be all right if you just hold on. See, with the journey of faith, when I thought about it, when the journey of faith, anything can happen, and sometimes life gets the best of us. It's the truth. Like when we had Connect Group, if I took an average of our Connect Group, we went around the circle, and I'm not going to tell you everyone's numbers, but we went 1 to 10, spiritually, how are you? If I averaged it out throughout the group, the average was 3. Out of 10, 3 out of 10. And it's not a bad thing. It just made me realize, I'm like, sometimes life just gets the best of us. Circumstances that we go through can get the best of us. Maybe something in your workplace may not be going right. Something in your home is not going right. And you may be frustrated. Maybe like, it's like, I don't know why it's like that. I've been praying and praying and praying, but God's not turning up. And you're just like, where are you, God? I've been praying. I've been faithful. I've been going to church. I've been going to Connect Group. I've been reading my word. I've been praying to you, but you're not turning up. Anyone feel like that? And sometimes we just need reminding in those moments to hold on. What am I saying to hold on to? This is what I'm saying. Hold on to the promises of God. Hold on to the word of God. And hold on faith in God. Because sometimes we want to let go. Sometimes our faith, we just want to let it go because it's easier to let it go than to hold on. No one? Oh, that's me, man. Like, it's easier to let go of my faith. Why? Because I go my way. I do what I want. when I want, when I want it. But when we hold on to faith and we believe what the Word of God says and trust in Him and surrender to Him, it means that we have to do His way over our way. And some people are like, oh, but I don't know the will of God in my life. Maybe the reason why you don't know the will of God of your life is because you don't know the ways of God of your, in your life. People go, oh, what's the will of God of my life? Learn His ways, then you'll know His will. This book right here is all His ways. When we learn His ways, we will know His will. Don't be caught up to know, like, oh, God, what's my will? What's my purpose? Know His ways. Live out His ways. Live out a righteous life. Live out a pure life. And as you do so, God will reveal your purpose and will of your life. But sometimes we just need to hold on. Tell your neighbor, hold on. Oh, come on. Tell your neighbor to hold on. Hey, I'm not here to just encourage you, but you're here to encourage the person next to you, behind you, and when you go out through the week, you need to remind somebody, you just got to hold on. Oh, Jordan, but I want to give up. I want to let go of this. It's so hard. And maybe you're the person to go, brother, hold on. Oh, but I don't know what I'm holding on to. Just hold on and trust God. I don't know what it looks like, but just hold on, hold on, hold on. I want to go through the whole chapter this morning of Genesis 13. I don't usually go through whole chapters, but the whole chapter is like, it just paints a cool story. In this story, we learn a lot. And we're going to go from Genesis 13. I'm going to extract some things out of this. You may have not seen it before, may have not heard it before, but I pray that we have an open mind to the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Can we go to Genesis 13? Let's start from verse 1. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev, he went from the place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had built his first altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. So real quick, recap. We have Abraham, he's going away from his home, and he brings his nephew Lot, and Abram's wealthy, and he brings on Lot, who has not as wealthy as he is, but he had a lot. And so they come to a place where they're like, they couldn't stay together. Cool? Verse 7. And quarreling arose between Abram's herd and Lot's, the Canaanites and Perizzites, yeah, some of the ites, were also living in the land at the time. So Abram said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me and between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Verse 9, is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt before Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Verse 12, Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, look around you from where you are, to the north and the south, to the east and the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offsprings forever. I will make your offsprings like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offsprings could be counted. Go walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I am given unto you. So Abram went to live near the gates of great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tents. There he built an altar to the Lord. That's it? Yeah. Cool? Understand? So quick recap, we have Lot, Abram, and his family. They go to a land, And Abram's like, oh, I can hear quarreling happening. I can hear arguments happening. So he says in all his wisdom, he's like, hey, Lot, we need to go separate ways. You have too many herd. I have too many herd. We're clashing. Whatever you pick. If you go left, I'll go right. What do you go right? I'll go left. And he's like, sweet, I'll go left. You go right. Cool. Bang, 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 bang. And then Abram had a word from God, and word God goes, from the north, south, east, and the west, whatever you see, that's yours. God's going to bless you forever, not just you in this moment, but for your offsprings and your offspring's offsprings forever and ever. And then he built another altar. Everyone understand the story? Oh, yeah, one person. No? Okay, so here we have Abram hearing disagreements within the camp and within Lot's camp, and in wisdom started to have conversation with his nephew about going separate ways. In this story, you see that Abram allowed Lot to choose the land he wanted first. I came to question God, why would you ask Lot to choose first when he was the father figure? Think about it. If it was between you and your uncle, who would you let choose first? Your uncle, of course. If it was your dad, and if it was your dad or someone who fungi'd you, who raised you up, who would you choose? The other person. And I was like, Lord, that's weird. That is so weird that Lot got to choose first. But in this story, you know what? You'll see something significant that brings the difference, that answers to that thought. Because I was like, God, why? And then he showed me through scripture. And so verse 10. Can we go verse 10? Verse 10 says this. Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered. Keep that in mind. He saw what was well watered, like the garden of the Lord. Look at the comparison. Like the garden of the Lord? Like the garden of the Lord? Like the land of Egypt before Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. Then the two men parted. This comes to a thought. Lot chose a place that looked blessed and flourishing because he said it was like the garden of the Lord. If it was like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, it looked beautiful. It had plenty. Lot chose a place where he didn't have to do much work, but he stepped into an amazing land. And you might be going, Jordan, what are you talking about? Yeah, cool. He stepped into an amazing land. This is the difference. Abram didn't get a choice in the land he got. He got the second pick. I want you to hear this. Abram got the second pick. I remember Pastor Luca spoke to me, prophesied to me, I was probably 17, 18, 19, I don't know, a long time ago. And he says to me, Jordan, the second mouse eats the cheese. I've never forgotten it. He says, the second mouse eats the cheese. Stop trying to be the first mouse. Because the first mouse, when he tries to get the cheese, he'll get hit by the trap. And the second mouse gets to eat the cheese. And I want to ask this question. Have you ever got sick and picked? Like, just think about your life. Have you ever got sick and picked? When it comes to a job, when it comes to a team, when it comes to opportunity, where someone gets first picked and you get left last. Whether you have nothing or you have, like, you can't get a job anymore because you got sick and picked. Anyone in here got sick and picked before? Have you ever got sick and picked in life where someone, like you've been praying for something and for some reason he's got it and you don't? Am I talking to anyone? You've been praying for breakthrough and for some reason your friend gets the breakthrough and you're like, but I'm the one been praying. I just want to show you, keep painting this picture, the second pick. Here's what happens when Lot leaves. Verse 14, if we go to 14 now. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are to the north, south, east, and west, all the land that you see, I will give to you and your offsprings forever. I will make your offsprings like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offsprings could be counted. Go walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. See, this may not or may be you, but have you ever chose something that looked good, sounded good, over trusting God to be your provision? I want to ask this question again. Have you ever chose something that looked good, sounded good, over trusting God to be your provision? Because here's the key difference. This is the reason why I'm painting this picture. The key difference between Lot and Abram is that Lot chose a land that would bless him, while Abram chose to trust God to bless him. Lot chose a land to bless him because he said that he could see that the Jordan was beautiful. He could see that it was like the garden of the Lord. He could see like it was Egypt. So what he saw, he was like, that's going to bless me. But Abram had this different mentality, this different shift in him. He's like, whatever you choose, it's okay. Because my blessing doesn't come from the land that I'm in. The blessing comes from the Lord. Are we all right? Sometimes we as people of God want to hold on to the blessing rather than holding on to the blesser. We have a scenario here where Lot sees something blessed, so he holds on to the blessing. Not realizing that the blessing actually comes from the blesser who was Yahweh, who was I Am. And so Abram chose to go, Lord, whatever he chooses, left or right, I'm going to trust in you anyway. I also have to make this point that not everything that is good is God. God is good, but not everything that is good in this world is from God. People think promotion, sometimes promotion from the world sense, is God saying, oh, he's opened a door. Sometimes it's not. Oh, but I've been praying for like God to give me like bump my pay up or do this and this that. What if God wants you to trust him in the salary that you're in, so that when you get to a place that is blessing over blessing, you can handle it? Why? Because you still trust him. So in this story, the reason why Abram let Lot choose first, like the first thought, when we said, oh, we'll choose the uncle. Uncle go first. Of course. Like in Maori culture, Samoan culture, we'll always let the adults choose first. Like that's just normal. But the reason why Abram let Lot choose first was because Abram had something to hold on to. Because we read Genesis 13, right? But what happened in Genesis 12? Because that brings a whole new context. Genesis 12, let's go there. Verses 1 to 3 says this. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out your country from your family and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. Hey. So like now you see why Abram let Lot choose. Look, this is what God said prior to the moment that he let Lot choose. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The reason why Abram let Lot choose was because of the promise that God already gave him. Because he knew that God said, I will bless you and make you great, and not only you great, but I'll make you a great nation. But not only just a great nation, but every offspring will be blessed from you. So it didn't matter what he chose, left or right. Abraham knew, I had a promise from God, so I'm going to hold on to that. Are we okay? Abraham held on to the promise of God, that he was making him into a great nation to be blessed and to be a blessing to others. We talked about last week about how we are to be blessed, and we're blessed to be a blessing to others. Can we go to quickly verse 2, sorry? You know me, I like how wordplay, like how God plays with words. He says, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you, and I will make your name great. Do you see this key word, make? I will make you great. You hear that? See that make? With that make, I think this is where we get something wrong. Like in the Christian circle, me being part of the Christian circle for majority of my life and seeing what church is like the lows of church, the highs of church, the in-betweens of church, I see where we get it wrong sometimes. We think we need to assist God in the making of us. Think about it. We believe we need to help God and assist him in the making of us. The reason why I say this is because Abram could have chose the land that was flowing with milk and honey. And he could have said, oh, that was the great nation. That was the blessing that God was talking about. But he didn't. Because if he chose that, he would have made it himself. Because he's like, God, is that the land? Is that what you're telling me, that this land's going to be blessed and I'm going to be a blessing in that blessed and that blessed land? But Abram stood back and said, Lot, you choose, and whatever you decide, I still got something to hold on to. And then Lot chose the Jordan and everything around it, and he said, that looked awesome and beautiful. Abram got the ladder. But what do we know about Abram today, or Abraham today? He's the father of all nations, and everything that comes from him and from him is blessed. Why? Because he held on to what Genesis 12 says. I'll make you into a great nation. I'll make you a great man. I'll make sure that your offspring's be blessed, and you'll be blessed to be a blessing. He had something to hold on to. He allowed God to be the making of him. Sometimes we as Christians, and I've done this before, that we try to hurry up the making of us when it comes to God. We try to rush the process. Has anyone here tried to rush the process in the Christian walk? Yeah, I have many times growing up trying to rush the process. I remember that when God said to me, like, hey, when I was like 12 and 13, he's like, Jordan, you're gonna worship there in front of thousands of people and blah, 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 all this stuff, blah, blah. And you know what I did? I tried to seek that. I try to seek the very thing that God said he will bless me with, not waiting to make him make me. And so after delay, the moment that I said to God, God, I surrender my heart and surrender everything to you, I'll let you make me. The moment that I did that, then he gave me opportunity after opportunity to fulfill the very thing that he told me to do. But I remember, if I didn't choose to surrender and trust in him and hold on to his promise, I can tell you right now, I would never have an opportunity to do that. And sometimes we try to assist God in the making of us, but I want to encourage us, allow God to make you. He is a professional at making righteous people. He is a professional at making loving people. You're like, oh, but I don't know how to love. Allow God to transform you in here, so that you can learn his love, and so that you can outwork that love to others. Oh, but I can't forgive. Don't worry about it. Go back to God who forgives all sin, so that as he transacts with you, you start going, I can forgive this person a little bit more. It's the making of us. Don't force it. Are we okay? The beautiful thing about this story is that Abraham's faith, you could see it in Genesis 13. The reason why I can say you can see it, you can hear it, you can feel it, it's in Genesis 13:9. In verse 9, he says, if you go to the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I go to the left. We could read that as like, oh, just choose, but that's faith talk. That is faith talk. So I want to ask you, this is not part of the thing, how's your faith talk? Oh, but I'm useless. You know, like, I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. No. How's your faith talk? Because there was two lands. Land that was blessing. Land was that it was nothing. But even in the nothing, God blessed the man and blessed the nation and nations of nations and blessed his offsprings. From a man that was just faithful in his act to say, you choose left, choose right, up to you. It doesn't matter. You can go with the blessing. I'll go with the blesser. Two differences. Are we okay? Yeah, no, we're not okay. Abram held on to the promises of God, the word of God, and faith in God. You see it throughout all Genesis 13. You see it in Genesis 12. Genesis 12 paints a pretty picture that when God says, I'm going to call you out from the native country that you're in. You know what the significant part of that? He didn't know what God sounded like. Abram was a moon and sun worshiper. He wasn't a Christian or someone who was for God. They were idol worshippers. But for some reason, God calls them and he's like, for some reason, I believe you're real. It took faith for Abram to leave his native country. It takes faith for us to step out of the unknown. I want to encourage us. Maybe you're in a workplace right now that you're like, nah, I want to give up. Nah, I want to throw in the towel. Like, I've had enough here. Can I encourage you? What if God's trying to get you to faith talk in where the situation you're in? What if God placed you in your workplace to do something that no one else could do. I remember that at Bunnings. I hated Bunnings. I love my people, but I hated Bunnings. And I remember like leaving God. This is me making me. I remember like I left Bunnings and they had all the prayer like, hey, Jordan, thank you for helping, all this amazing stuff. And then I chose to get married. And how many know getting married costs a lot of money? Yeah. And I had no job because I was like, oh God, you called me to ministry, blah, 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 blah. And so I was like, I want to faith thing it. I want to faith do it. Even though God didn't tell me, I was just like, I want to do it with faith. And I remember going into the church and working part-time. And then me and Jamaica got engaged. And then I'm like, I've got to go back to work. So it made me question, did God tell me to come to ministry? Or was I trying to make myself? A lot of times we're trying to rush the process of the making of ourselves, not realizing that God wants to stay, make us stay somewhere for a little bit longer just to train us. And I didn't realize at the time that Bunnings taught me everything that I needed to do for being a pastor. You would say, hey, that makes no sense. You've got to be in the church to know what it means to be a pastor. But what it taught me, it was to love people. If anyone knows builders, builders have filthy mouths and filthy talk. Filthy. I'm not going to tell the race, actually. They have really filthy mouths. And I've told the story many times before, but I remember like at the counter, they'll slap down $50 and go, Jordan, can you swear just for us once, and I'll give you $50 right here on the counter. It didn't make sense. And then I started to realize what God was doing to me. He was teaching me how to love people. He showed me how to show Christ in a place where Christ is not known. Because then I started getting questions in my workplace. Jordan, why is your God different from the God that this guy displays? He says you serve the same Jesus, but he tells us you're going to hell. We're going to hell, but you tell us you're forgiven. Why is that? Because I know a different Jesus than that one. I couldn't tell him anything. I just said, I don't know. God loves me, God loves you. That's it. Like, there's no other thing. But for some reason, the other Christians in my workplace always said, you're going to hell. Even though that's true, but if they don't know love, they'll never know anything. Love is what transforms people. The reason why people in the Bible with Jesus, the reason why people ran after him was because they saw love through him. When he says, when people went around this woman who committed adultery, in fact, in this story, like going off topic, in the story with this woman who committed adultery, the reason why she got caught was people were peeking within her home. You know why I know this? Because the Bible says that they brought her out because she was committing adultery. How do you bring someone out if they're committing adultery, which means you have to be in the place where they're committing adultery? So we have a lot of peeking Toms in the Christian community. Oh, I'm watching you, and I want to bring you to Jesus. But what does Jesus do? Okay, cool, pick up your stone, but he who has not sinned, cast the first stone. He showed a love that no one else could compare to. And the reason why I'm bringing the story is that the reason why God leaves us in a place is so that we learn how to hold on to his word, hold on to his promise, and hold on to faith in him and the situation that we're in. I believe that I always say this, I know, you may get sick and tired of this, hearing this, but I say, there's something significant about this church. There's something significant about our building. There's something significant about our people. There's something significant about who we are as a people. The reason why you're here today and the reason why you want to commit to this house is because there's something different. What it is, I can't put it on paper. But all I know, there's something different. But I know that God has called this people and the people that are coming to be a people who will show the love of God no matter what. Who will be in faith and in God's word and in his promises no matter what, because they choose to hold on. Are we okay? Now let's look at our own lives. We've just looked at Abram and Lot. Let's look at our own lives. We need to have the same attitude and faith that Abram has. That same attitude, if you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left. Wherever we are and wherever we go with God. That's the foundation. Even if we get second picked in life, even if we get last picked in life, even if you get overlooked for a job promotion that you went for and you didn't get it, even in those moments,
We hold on to the promises of God. We hold on to His word. And we hold on to faith in Him.
Are we okay?
So, as I finish, not now, but I'm about to finish, I want to tell us the promises of God over our lives. Because if you don't know what the promises of God over your life is, you won't know what to hold on to. Are you okay? We need to know this in order for us to know what to hold on to. You can't hold on to the Sunday sermon. Are you right? Sunday sermon's cool. You can hold on to a podcast on YouTube for so long. Okay? You can hold it for so long, but there will come a time where you need to know the promises in here. Because it says this book will be everlasting. This everything will pass away, but my word will stand forever. This stands forever. Your YouTube channel, going to go sometime. Your podcast you're going to listen to, that person's going to die one day. Like there's going to be a time where there's no more left, but this word stays, remains the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. This book here. And so I want to tell us the promises of God that we can hold on to. And the first one is this. I don't have it up there, but the first one is this, and I want you to remember this. God is a promise keeper. First and foremost, we need to make it clear that God is a God who is a promise keeper. Once He said it, He will do it. So that's why we don't need to make ourselves. We can allow God to make us. Why? Because once He said it, He will do it. Are we okay? Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. I've got to put scripture to this so you don't think I'm lying. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9 says this, "Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps His covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations." "With those who love Him and keep His commandments." Key things right there. Those who love Him and keep His commandments, He will keep His promise. He can't keep His promise to those who reject Him. Right? Like, he'll go, this person here, like, let's say this person rejects Him, but he's like, "Man, I called you to be an evangelist." They will never ever work out to be evangelists until the moment they come and love God and surrender to Him. Even though that the promise is there, they will never ever fulfill the promise of their life unless they come to God with love and they follow His commandments. And so I want to encourage us and tell us this morning, what we can hold on to is that God is a promise keeper. If He said it, He will do it. Who's had a promise from God? I want you to raise hands. Who's got a promise from God? Like, God said something to you and you're like, it hasn't been fulfilled yet, but you know it's a promise. Anyone? Yeah? Whatever you go through, go back to that word and go, "God, You said it, so You'll do it." And you just got to keep reminding God You're a promise keeper. Even in the moments where you're like, "That seems so opposite of what You promised me." But you're like, even in those moments, go, "God, I thank You that You're a promise keeper." The second thing that we can hold on to is that God loves us deeply no matter what. This is for people who go through stuff and they feel like they're a failure. They feel like sin has overcome them and they can't get back to God. I want to remind you that God loves you deeply no matter what. Romans 8, 38 to 39 says this, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principles, nor powers, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us. So for those who go through stuff and you feel like that you're far away from God, that you feel like, "Oh no, I'm a sinner, or I can't do this, I can't do that because I did this bad thing this week or this day or whatever day that you did it," can I encourage you and remind you that God loves you deeply no matter what. He doesn't love the sin, but He loves you. And you know what? God's big enough to deal with your sin. The third thing is God will never forsake you. That is important because sometimes we feel abandoned by God. I know I feel like that before. I feel like many times where I feel like God's not near me. I'm like, "Where are You, God? I don't feel You. I don't have anything by You." I'm like, just no inclination of where God is. But I want to tell you and remind you, it's faith. It's not a feeling. It's not a goosebumps in your thing. It's faith. It's here, faith. And so I want to remind us today, a promise that we can hold on to, that is that God will never forsake you. Deuteronomy 31, 6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. Them could be anything. Them could be your enemies. Them could be your finances. Them could be whatever. Put whatever in that them moment. So do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And the reason why God can keep that promise is because he forsake Christ so that he couldn't forsake us. Christ was the only person that God ever forsaked. And the reason why he did that is so that he couldn't forsake us anymore. He's like, I did it to my son as a one and all payment. And that's all I need. So we have God is a promise keeper. God loves us deeply no matter what. God will never leave us or forsake us. The fourth one is an important one because we all go through this, is that God is your healer. God is your healer. I've never been in the hospital so many times other than this year. Like, seriously. Hospital, not only for my family, hospital for people, not only within this church, but people that I know in hospital. But I believe that God is our healer. Even though the body hasn't caught up, God is our healer. And healing looks different for everybody. You can't just say, oh, God, but God didn't heal them from top to bottom and they're not out of hospital. But what if they got a different type of healing? They came to God. What if they never knew Jesus and they came to Jesus? That is the best gift that anyone can receive over he can heal the body. Even though God can heal the body, but sometimes healing doesn't look what we look like or what we think it looks like. Psalms 102, 2 to 3 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases. He doesn't just forgive all our sins and our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. You know the cough that you feel like it's insignificant to pray for? Pray for it. You know that migraine? I know there's people in here. I've done it before. When I get a migraine, I just think Panadol, Panadol, Panadol. But what if I just prayed? Panadol, like, Panadol is good. Like, I'm not saying Panadol is bad. But why is Panadol the first thing we think of instead of going to God? Actually, I want to pray about it. God says he heals all our diseases. Right? Oh, no, we've got to go to the hospital, we've got to do this. What if we just prayed first, see what happens? If it doesn't work, I'll take Panadol. I don't know, like, God uses the things of this world to heal us, 100%. Like, he uses doctors, he uses medicine, he uses surgery, 100%. But what if you just prayed? What if something could happen? You never know. Imagine if you're praying for your, like, kid. I do all the time with my son. When he's got a migraine or if he's unwell, the first thing I do is pray for him. The second thing I do, in all wisdom, is put Vicks. Vicks is not bad. You know what I mean? Like, my first thing when my son's sick is we pray for him, and then he prays over himself too, so he believes it. But then we rub him down and give him medicine. And there have been times when my son, like, the next day, he's like, Dad, I'm healed. It was either the prayer or the Panadol. But either way, he believes God did it. Imagine if we had faith like children. Just to go, yeah, I'll pray for myself and do wisdom. And then the next day, even if it was the Panadol, just go, thank God. Because if it wasn't for Panadol and the person who created Panadol and the person who lives now to make the Panadol, you wouldn't have Panadol. God created that person to make that Panadol. So if it wasn't for God, yes, we wouldn't have Panadol, okay? God is our healer. You're right. The promises we can hold on to. The fifth one. God is your comforter. He's got your back. God is our comforter. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Hear that? He's the God of all comfort. And now listen to verse 4. He comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble. Do you see something? God says, I'm God of the comfort who comforts us in all tribulation. Then he goes on to say this, listen to this, that you may be able to comfort those who are in trouble. So God comforts us, not because he just wants to comfort us, but he wants to go, Lord, Lee, I want to comfort you, so that you can comfort someone else. When God does something, he doesn't just do it to bless us. He ensures that he instills something in us so that we can do it to someone else. Just like how we said last week, we are blessed to be a blessing. If God comforts us in times of tribulation, what does he want us to do? To comfort others in times of trouble. Because not all the people that you surround yourself with are saved, right? Yeah, if people are non-Christian, but for some reason, you're the first person in time of trouble they call. Hey, I'm going through stuff. And your initial thing, oh, cool. Come, I'll come over. Have a coffee with you. Just hang out. The reason why God comforts us in all tribulation is because he understands that we also have to comfort those who are in trouble. There's a domino effect. He's got our back. The sixth thing that we need to understand and hold on to the promises of God is that God is our provider. That's important because sometimes we try to make ourselves our own provider. Have you ever done that? I did that growing up. I don't trust God for something, so I'll get a loan. I don't know who I'm talking to. I trust God for something, but I got a loan. That's not trusting God. That's getting into debt. I did so much silly stuff when I was young because I was trying to make myself. Now in the moment that with me and my wife, we just believe that God's our provision constantly. You know what? God blessed us upon blessing, upon blessing, upon blessing. And I'm like, how does this work? You know, like, have you ever thought, like, how does this work? Like, for some reason, 1 + 1 does not equal 2 to God. 1 + 1 equals $1,000. You know, like, something random just happens. And with me and my wife, like, I can see God's provision in my life. And I think you can even see God's provision in your own life, where you're like, it doesn't make sense, but for some reason, our bill's been met, or this has been met. Why? Because God is our provider. That's a promise we can hold on to. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." I want to note there's something in this scripture that is so important. "And my God shall supply." My God, meaning your personal savior, meaning you have a relationship with him. We can't say, "My God shall supply all my needs," if he's not my God. It's not just coming into church and going, "Oh, because I go to church, my God shall supply all my needs." It's only he supplies your needs if he's my God. Personal. I love how Paul writes this thing, because he always brings it back. You do it. You. It's on you. "So my God shall supply my needs." So we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. We need to make sure that we keep connected with God, because we can go, "My God supplies all my needs." So when you go through stuff, you know your God can provide your needs. Why? Because he's your God. He's your Abba Father. He's the I Am, Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh. And the last thing, the last promise. I think it's an important promise, and a promise that many have to learn, is that God is your Father. That's probably one of the hardest things to go through, is because many people are fatherless, or people have fathers that are not good fathers. And so when they look at God, that father looks way different. And they're like, "I can't accept that love because I don't know what love looks like, because my father never showed me love." But I want to encourage us, God is our Father. He is one that will love us unconditionally, but he is also one that will correct us regardless. Real dads correct their children. Papas, dads, fathers, they correct their children. I do it with my son. I feel like yelling at him most of the time. But I'm like, "Son, come here, sit down. Eye to eye, let's talk. The reason why I don't want you to do this is because blah, 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 blah." Because my son's like real intellectual. So if you go, "Don't do this," he's like, "Oh, why?" You know, kids, "Oh, why?" And they will keep going, "Why?" until you give them the answer. You can't just give them a willy-nilly answer. You just got to actually explain it to them, because kids these days are very smart, like very, very smart. So I have to sit down with my son and go explain him why. And I was like, "This, this, this, this." He's like, "Okay, cool." He understands it. So once he understands it, if he does it again, I can keep him up the bum. That's what God does to us. Papa Dad does that. Our Father in Heaven does that. He's like, "I want to correct you once. Once you understand this, I'm going to be a bit firmer." I remember my dad, when growing up, my dad would go say something, one thing, we'll do it again. Like, the voice has changed. And then then when the mother gets in, that's even scarier. Like, the father's scary, but when the mama gets, like, their face, just the face, it's just more scary. But that's how God operates. He's one who loves us unconditionally, but always corrects us. And the reason why we know this in the Word, it says it in Psalm 68, 4-5. It says, sing to God, sing praises to his name, exalt him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him, a father of the fatherless, a defender of the widows, and as God in his holy habitation. He's the father of the fatherless, a defender of widows. This is only 7 promises for us to hold on to. I could have went all night and like wrote down every promise, and we'll be here for hours and hours because there's so much in the Word of God. But I just picked out 7 important things that we need to hold on to. 7 things, which are this: God is our promise keeper. God loves us deeply no matter what. God will never forsake you. God is our healer. God is our comforter. God is our provider. And God is our Father. Are we all right? If we don't know what the promises are, we don't know what to hold on to. And I know for a fact when summer comes and when December and January comes, churches play up. Like, church people play up. Like, they play up, play up. They play up because of this. They have this notion, and I'm not saying it's you, it's someone else, another church. For some reason, when it's holiday, we holiday with God, we holiday with our tithe, we holiday God with our time. But in those moments, that's when we need to hold on to his promises, hold on to his word, and hold it to faith in God. That's where we need to keep building our faith. Because in December, January, man, we play up. Christians play up across everywhere. They're like, oh, but we're on a holiday. No, but God's your provider, though. He can't be just your provider from February all the way to November, and you forget him December and January. Doesn't make sense. And that's my encouragement for us. We need to learn what the promises of God is so that we can hold on to. And in the moments where we don't want to worship God, in the moments where we don't want to come to him, is the moments where we need to come to him the most. But if we don't know the promises, if we don't know who he is, if we don't have faith in him, we'll never hold on to it. And so my encouragement for us today as we go through this faith series is hold on. If your back's against the wall, hold on. If you're going through a really tribulating time or a time of the valley, hold on. If you're going through the mountaintops and blessings are going overflow, hold on. You know why I say hold on? Because as quickly you can go up, faster you can come down. I see this in the Christian circles a lot. We get blessed, for some reason God gets missed. But that is the moment where we need God the most, isn't our blessing. Why? Because we think it's about us. We think it's about me. But it's actually, God, I thank you that you bless me. But I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm not blessed to stay on the mountaintop, but I'm blessed to share your love, share whatever. So hold on. Can you tell your neighbor, hold on? Tell the person behind you, hold on. In Jesus' name, amen. I pass it on.
Can we give Pastor a hand, please? Awesome. Are you ready to hold on? One person. The rest of you are going to fall. Nah, Jax. Hold on. Awesome. You enjoy that message? There was a lot of promises to unpack. 7 is a good number, yeah? And I feel like sometimes we feel like we understand something, but we've got a very surface level of it. I want to challenge you to take those 7 promises